1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses number 17 to 21. For the preaching of the cross is, praise God, it's not was, it is to them that perish foolishness, but unto them, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. If you look at this passage and you look at all of the word B-U-T, all of the conjunctions in this passage, can I show them to you real quick? You got your Bible there? The first one's in, of course, verse 17, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Look at verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Look at verse number 23. But we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. Look at verse 24. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Two more, look at verse 27. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And then look at verse number 30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Here's what I want you to notice. We're going to stick at verse number 18 this morning. But every time you see that conjunction in this passage, everyone who is on one side of the conjunction are lost because they choose to be. You see the verse 18, it says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Everybody on that side of the word, but, is lost because they desire to be. They're lost because they trust in themselves or other sinners who are like themselves. But all of them, they're all put on that side. Then on the other side of the conjunction, if we just use verse 18, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. On the other side of that conjunction, there's no good people. There's no super people or devoted or religious people. It's just people who have believed what the Bible says about the cross of Jesus Christ. So on one side, you've got lost people because they choose to be lost. And on the other side of the conjunction, you have people who have believed what the Bible says about the cross. You see, the world divides everybody into this. Good people over here, bad people over here. And God never does that in the Bible. The world divides people into, well, here's religious people over here, and here's non-religious people over here. And God never does that in the Bible. God doesn't divide people that way. God's word divides. God divides the whole world into two groups. Those who feel they're smart enough to work out eternal life by their own means or their own terms. And then on the other side, those who have repented of all their self-confidence and any trust in man and believed just the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's how God divides people. I'm so glad this morning I can testify that by God's grace, I'm on the side that believes what the Bible says about the cross of Jesus Christ. I'm on that side. Now, here, watch this. It says here in verse 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. When we say the word God, we don't mean what has been interpreted by everyone who has ever lived by what God means. We mean, when we say God, Creator, Jehovah, Almighty God. When we say the Bible, we mean from Genesis to Revelation. We're not talking about we're talking about the content, but we don't have to read the word. We don't have to read the whole Bible for you to understand what we mean by God's word, the Bible. You say, why would I say that? Because here it says, for the preaching of the cross, the cross. When we say the cross, we aren't talking about a good luck charm, something that you wear around your neck, or a symbol of religion. When we say the preaching of the cross, we're talking about the place of sacrifice that God chose to pay for our sins and everything that that cross includes. When you say, I believe that Jesus died on the cross, that's not preaching the cross. That's not preaching the cross. 1 Corinthians 15 says, Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. If Jesus was just another criminal, Dying under the rules of Roman execution, that doesn't save you. You understand? That doesn't save you. The preaching of the cross is Jesus being who he said he was, dying for the reason he said he would die, and accomplishing what he came to accomplish on that cross. That's the preaching of the cross. Okay, listen closely. When you say you believe Jesus died on a cross, listen closely. Do you believe that the sinless, virgin-born creator of the universe was voluntarily laying down his life for your sins? Or do you believe that Jesus was a Jew who was killed by Romans? Believing that Jesus was a Jew who was killed by Romans doesn't save you. Believing that he was the virgin-born Son of God who willingly gave his life for you, that is salvation the moment you trust it. When we say, when we say the preaching of the cross, we mean what the Bible declares happened at Calvary. And if you believe, and I said, the moment you believe that, that is when you're saved. When we say the preaching of the cross, the definite article there, the, okay, that's important. In verse 18, we don't care about all the other executions that have ever taken place through history on a cross. And we know hundreds of thousands of people have died on a cross, were executed. When we say the preaching of the cross, we're talking about one. The word the has to be used because on one particular afternoon, on one particular hill, outside one particular city, Romans authorized and Jews observed three men dying on three crosses, right? That means for us to preach the cross, we aren't preaching a means of death to execute hundreds or thousands of people. We aren't preaching a form of torture. When we preach the cross, we're looking past the thief on Jesus' left and what he said. We're looking past the thief on Jesus' right. And there's things you can learn about those thieves. There's truths you can pull from those. But the thief on the left and the right have nothing to do with where your soul will spend eternity. When we say the preaching of the cross, we're looking right at one cross whose death determines your eternal destination. And the others don't matter to your soul. Out of all the tens of thousands of people executed on crosses in the shape of an X or a T or crosses placed upside down, we're not talking about those crosses. We're talking about the promise of God in the Old Testament to come into this world and live as a man without sin and then take upon him in his body the sins of all mankind for all time and then die upon a cross to pay in full the penalty that was due sinners for their sins. That's the cross we're talking about. Can I just tell you this morning, let's keep your Bible still open there. Look at 1 Corinthians 1:18. I'm just trying to take each word and say, do we know what we're talking about? Because for the preaching of the cross, notice this, is to them that perish foolishness. Is. The preaching of the cross is always the need of every age and every hour. It doesn't say when the apostles were alive, the preaching of the cross was foolishness. The preaching of the cross is present tense today. It's timeless. Listen closely. God ordained one religion for the world. One. And it wasn't Christianity. God ordained one religion given to the Hebrew people. And God wrote in his law on tables of stone, and he told the Hebrews, you'll bring these sacrifices to these altars on these days, and you will cut up the animals in this fashion, and you will bring the grain and the meal in this fashion, and only these men from this tribe with these garments may offer these sacrifices. That's the only religion God ever gave to man. All the other religions are given by the devil. Then listen closely. The one religion within moments of dying on the, with Jesus dying on the cross, within moments, God rent the veil in the temple from top to bottom and he shut down the religion that he ordained. And then Jewish converts, went into the world to tell the other Jews, we don't sacrifice animals anymore. We look to the cross. We look to the cross. The moment Jesus died on the cross, the one religion that God had ordained and given to mankind was, but the preaching of the cross is now, present tense. Mormonism is a weird religion. They teach you about Joseph Smith, their founder, while hoping you never study what he taught. Because if you go to a Mormon church, what you're taught in the Mormon church is different from the founder of the Mormon church by those who say they're Mormons. In other words, what Joseph Smith originally taught is not taught in the Mormon church. It's changed. If you go to I hope you don't, okay. But if you go to a Jehovah's Witness church, it changes constantly. If you look in the Watchtower, what they print this year about what their Bible says changed from last year. It's always changing. You've always got to find out, because what they teach changes. They've said Jesus is coming 5 different times. And when it finally got to, I think it's the year 1927, when Jesus didn't come, now they're saying, well, he came spiritually. That's because they got to keep changing what they're teaching. That's cultism. That's what the cults teach. The preaching of the cross is. It's present tense. Let me see if I can illustrate it to you this way. 2,000 years ago, men ran down from an upper room in Jerusalem and proclaimed to people from every nation under heaven that on a cross outside the city of Jerusalem, Jesus Christ had died to pay for the sins of sinners, and 3 days and three nights later, Jesus rose from the dead, and if they would believe on him, their souls would be saved. Can I tell you what? This morning, 2,000 years later, we're still proclaiming the same message to the world. It's the same message. It's never changed. The preaching of the cross is. It never changed. It's not been revised, altered, modernized, updated, or made to fit the laws and politics of any society or a nation. The preaching of the cross is what it was and what it always will be. It's the power of God to save sinners and to give them everlasting life. That's the preaching of the cross. We don't have to figure out what Christianity used to do and what it used to believe. We're believing the same thing if we're holding to the Bible, right? Let me see if I can give it to you this way. When a Filipino missionary surrenders to preach the gospel, and he goes to China to be a missionary, he doesn't have to go, how am I going to reach the Chinese? How am I going to preach the gospel to the Chinese? No, you preach the same gospel in China that you preach in the Philippines. When you surrender to go to the mission field in Mexico, you don't have to go, how am I going to reach the Spanish? How do I preach the gospel to the Spanish? You preach the same gospel. Jesus died for their sins and rose again from the dead, and if they'll place their faith in him, they can be saved. It's the same gospel. When a missionary surrenders to go to Africa, he doesn't go, how am I going to preach to the people in Africa? It's the same gospel. It's the same gospel. It crosses all national boundaries. It's not a national gospel. It's not a racial gospel. It's not a social or cultural gospel. It's God's one proclamation to man. My son died for your sins and rose again from the dead that you might have everlasting life. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18 again. Watch this. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. The preaching of the cross is either foolishness or it's the power of God. And if there was ever in a day and age, if there was ever a day and age where people have such a hard time understanding. Our society is so narcissistic. Everything revolves around me. And if you tell me I'm a sinner, God uses the word perish. That's talking about forever death in hell. And if they willingly choose that, God says it's foolishness to them. God says it's foolishness to them. Let's just take this phrase here, and then I'll come back to that word perish in just a second. For the preaching of the cross, if I take that, the preaching of the cross. Did you know no one gets saved by you living the Christian life? Your lifestyle can hinder someone getting saved. Every once in a while, I'll meet somebody, you know, they don't want nothing to do with Christianity because they're all a bunch of hypocrites and blah, 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 blah. Well, every Christian is a hypocrite. And Christians who live worldly lives can hinder other people from getting saved. If that's the only Christian they ever meet, and I've met them. I witnessed to 2-3 college-age kids in one church where we were at, and one of the backslidden Christians in the church had taken them out to a nightclub and then got them involved in fornication. And I'll never forget trying to witness to him. If you died today, boy, sure, I'm glad you came to church. And if you died today, you're 100% sure you'd go to heaven? They, all three of them about laughed to my face. Somebody from this church took us out partying, and I couldn't win them to Christ. I understand the gist. Lifestyle Christianity is my joy, the way I treat people, and how I live the Christian life. I understand that, but nobody gets saved from your Christian life. It's the preaching of the cross. It's the preaching of the cross. I've only had one person in my lifetime walk up to me and say, "There's something different about you. I watched you yesterday." It happened to me in the Marine Corps. Came up to me on the barracks walkway there, and it's only happened one time, and I've been saved 32 years. Somebody came up to me and said, "Something's different about you. What is it?" Well, I got to show them how to go to heaven, and they got to trust Christ. Other than that, I'd never had that. If you've had that happen more to you, God bless you. But I've only had it happen to me one time in 32 years. Listen closely. Your lifestyle, since you placed your faith in Christ, can be so drastic that friends and co-workers and family can ask, "What happened to you?" Or they can say, "How can I get what you got?" But let me tell you something. Your lifestyle can't save anybody. Your lifestyle can't. I know the statement. People don't like. Look, we're supposed to preach the gospel. You're not supposed to go on a street corner and then smile and beam Jesus. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. Nowhere your lifestyle, once again, is important, and I understand it. But if they're going to be saved, you can't say, when they come up to you, "Wow, you're different." You can't look at them and go, "Just keep watching. Watch how I treat the waitress at the restaurant. Watch how politely I drive." They still need somebody to give them the gospel and tell them about Jesus Christ. Our lifestyle can't get them saved. When Philip went to the Ethiopian eunuch in the chariot in Acts chapter 8, and the Ethiopian eunuch said, "See, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" Philip didn't go, "Here I am. I'm going to live with you for 3 weeks and you might get it." He didn't do that. He opened the book of Isaiah and preached at the scripture where he was reading Christ. When you go to Acts chapter 10, Peter sent to Cornelius. And Peter, when Cornelius opened the door for Peter to witness to him, Peter didn't say, "Here I am." He preached the gospel. I know that that's simple, but we live in a day and age where people look for excuses to not give the gospel. And what I'm trying to tell you as a Christian this morning, God says the preaching of the gospel is the power of God. It is the power of God. You have to tell them what Jesus did on the cross. They should see what God's done for you. But them seeing what the Lord Jesus has done for you will not make it possible for them to be saved. When the Holy Ghost filled those men on the day of Pentecost, they didn't run into the street and smile. They preached the cross. Our lives are not the power of God unto salvation. And let me just spend just a little bit more time on that. Can you keep your finger in 1 Corinthians chapter 1? Can you go to Philippians chapter 1? Go to Philippians. We'll come right back to 1 Corinthians, but watch this. Philippians chapter 1. I'm not against. I'm for you living a Christian life. But what's sad is when Christians don't go soul winning and they say, "Well, I'm living Jesus in front of them." You're not living the death, burial, and resurrection. I want you to live a holy life and want you to live a godly life and want you to walk with the Lord and love Jesus. But I'm going to make a strong statement as a preacher. You ain't that good. You ain't that good. Nobody is. It takes the preaching of the cross. It takes the preaching of the cross. Look at Philippians chapter 1. Ready? Look at verse number 15. Ready? Philippians 1:15. I'll let you come back to this, and I'm just going to get wet your taste buds, but watch this. Some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. So look what verse 15 says. He says, there are some people who preach the cross of Christ with envy and strife. He said, there's some preachers out there, God's using Paul to write this, that say that hate me, and they can't stand what I'm preaching. Okay, as a Christian, you're not supposed to hate anybody, right? So here it says, there's preachers with envy and strife in their heart. And then he said, then there's others of goodwill. So you got good preachers and bad preachers, right? Then look at verse number 16. The first, preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. They're angry while they do it. They're contentious. Then look at verse 17. But the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. Verse 18, I wish you'd underline one word in it. Watch this. What then? Look at this word. Notwithstanding, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. Do you know why that's so important? Look, I'm for your lifestyle is important, but your lifestyle doesn't save anybody. Here it says, when a preacher stands up, if he's got bitterness in his heart and anger and strife, nonetheless, Christ is preached, because it's the gospel that saves people. It's not the life of the preacher. I don't save anybody. I'm a messenger. And it would help if I live holy and walk with God and pray. But let me tell you something. The Bible teaches if the vessel that the gospel's coming through is tainted, God can still save because of the gospel, not the vessel. Amen? Isn't that what that's saying? So I don't know why people teach, well, I just live the gospel. I live Jesus in front of me. I want you to live Jesus, but that doesn't save people. Do you understand? Okay, now you're in Philippians 1. Go back to 1 Corinthians. Go back to 1 Corinthians. Preaching the cross is when you ask them to believe what God has done for sinners. Look at 1 Corinthians 1:18. Ready? It says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. I started a little bit earlier saying people don't like to face the fact that they're perishing and that a holy God is going to put them into an eternal hell. In our society, listen closely, in our society, you can commit any sin listed in the Bible and no one says a thing. I was reading the paper, that's a thing of the past, isn't it? When the web comes up, you know, you got little articles, you know, all over. Two separate beatings last week. One guy gets off a subway train and they had the video. And he just starts pummeling this guy, beat him to the ground, and then walked off. A man that beat this passenger at large, this is what he looks like. He had three people walk by while he's pounding this guy. And here's what people are, nobody tried to help him. Nobody tried to help or protect that. Everybody's doing this and walking away. And I thought, that's horrible. You watch somebody getting hurt like that. Then they had another, I think 2 days later, they had another video of two guys beating a dad that's holding his little girl in his arms in a coffee shop. And they had these guys come up and they're punching this guy who's holding his daughter. Here's all the help he got. A person comes up and gets his daughter out of his arms and holds her while they beat him. I was like, have mercy. How can you do that? That just blows my mind. I mean, here's a guy that's needing help. Two guys and they beat him down to the ground and then left the restaurant. And it says, criminals at large. I was like, how come nobody helped him? Nobody helped him. Nobody wants to get involved. So I said that to say, it amazes me. You can commit any sin listed in the Bible and nobody says a thing. But if you dare tell anybody that they're a sinner and on their way to hell without Jesus Christ, you're now the worst, horrific, and most frightening outcast in a society of perverts. That amazes me. That amazes me. John 3:16 says this. Well, God's a God of love. And okay, listen closely. John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We do have a wonderful God of love. God so loved you that he gave his only begotten Son. Why did he have to give him? To die on the cross. Why? Because you were going to perish if God didn't die for you. That's the message. That God died so that nobody would have to perish if they would trust him. No, it's a message of love. Yes, there is a real hell. There is a real heaven. But my goodness, God died for you so you don't have to go there. What a message of love. What a story of love. What's so sad? I'm just stay with me. If you went to 50 funerals this week, I hope you don't, but every funeral I go to, you know, where I'll attend, I'm not talking where I participate. The priest, the caliph, the rabbi, the minister, witch, family member, whoever's doing the service. It's amazing to me how fast the person in the casket is put in heaven during that. Just because they died, automatically, they're in heaven. Go to 50 funerals this week and you'll hear it over and over again in the same funeral. This person right here, so glad they're in heaven. And when they were alive, they hated them. But now that they're dead, they're in heaven. That's in every funeral home in this county. By the end of the funeral, that person's been put into heaven by the speaker 20 times. And the person never trusted Christ. It didn't matter what that person believed or how they lived, because they think if you do enough good works and if you don't do any really bad sins, you go to heaven. They may not have been able, they couldn't stand the person, but they got them in heaven. They couldn't stand them when they were alive, but now that they're dead, they've got them in heaven. Can I tell you this morning? The Bible says, unless you believe what the Bible says about the cross of Jesus Christ, you'll perish in your sins. Listen, despite the fact that God loves you, right? God does love you. When someone says that when someone says they've been baptized, you're there at 1 Corinthians 1? Look at verse 17. Watch this. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. You don't need a Bible degree to know that getting baptized and the gospel are two different things if all you did was read that verse. The greatest missionary in the world, the Apostle Paul, was never sent to baptize anybody. I'm a Baptist preacher. Praise God, we got a baptistry. But that tank has nothing to do with washing sins away or getting anybody to heaven. The gospel, Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. What's the gospel? The death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Resurrection of Christ. The largest listen closely. The largest denominations in the world that call themselves Christians teach their followers that grace is given for salvation at baptism as an infant. Name a Christian denomination that doesn't do that. There are more that do it than don't. I can go up the road, 235, and I can point to church after church. They baptize babies. They baptize babies. They baptize babies. They baptize babies. And it's nowhere found in the Bible. It's nowhere found in the Bible. The rest of verse 17 tells us why they don't believe the gospel. Look at verse, it says, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. They trust in the wisdom of men, not in the word of God, and that's what makes the cross of Christ no effect. They never say, the Bible says. They always say this, well, my church teaches this. Who cares what your church teaches? I know a lot of churches that don't teach the Bible. The Bible is the authority, not a church, right? And if they teach the wisdom of men, what makes sense to them, then the cross of Christ becomes of no effect. It becomes of none effect. The overwhelming majority of people who say they are on their way to heaven point to water instead of the cross. Well, I've been baptized. I've been baptized. Wait a second. Baptism and going to heaven have nothing. They're totally separate. They're totally separate. So many religions substitute the cross. They substitute baptism for the cross because the cross offends people. But that baby never gets offended when you put water on its forehead. It's cute. And it's endearing. It's warm and fuzzy. When you tell an adult, though, they're going to hell without Jesus Christ, that causes problems. That causes problems. Look at 1 Corinthians 1:18 again. Ready? I'm just trying to stay on this verse here, right in this passage. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. How come it's foolishness? Sit down with the average family this week, if you doubt me. Have them over to your house. Invite them. He works hard. She's involved in community service. And this week, she got a family that was living in a minivan and worked through the community services. And now that family that was living in the mom and the three kids that were living in the minivan are now living in a house, you know, HUD, and however they got it worked out. And the kids been, you know, their teenage boy that just graduated high school is, you know, lettered and the athletic team. Ask them a question. So, are y'all saved? They're going to go, have we ever been in a car wreck? Have we ever been on a boat that was sinking? They're not thinking eternal. They're thinking physical. Then try to rephrase the question this way. Have y'all ever had your sins forgiven? Do you know how to get your sins forgiven? They'll look at you like a fool. I may have told a lie before or something, but I help people. And you're telling me if I tell a lie, I'm just as much of a sinner as someone in ISIS? I'm as guilty as a murderer? They'll look at you like a fool. The preaching of the cross. Everyone needs the cross because you can't earn your way to heaven. To break one law, you've broken them all. You need the cross and what Jesus did for you on the cross. You have to have it or you'll die and go to hell. That preaching is foolishness to those who are lost. I'm good enough. My church will get me there. I've been baptized. I'm okay. Nobody's perfect. How many times have I heard that as a pastor? Nobody's perfect. But if you're telling me I'm on my way to hell, you know what they do in their heads? You get foolish written, you know, not tattooed, but as far as they're looking at you, they'll think you're a fool, especially in this day and age. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. You can quote the Bible, but modern education at the state universities, they're teaching them, if you believe the Bible, then you automatically have three teeth. You'd kill homosexuals if you had the chance, and you're mentally unstable. That's what they teach. Did you hear what NBC said on The Voice about Vice President Pence? They said, well, you can talk to Jesus. This is what they said on NBC. But if Jesus talks to you, you're mentally unstable. That's how that they look at. In other words, do you see how society is starting to look at Christians as cuckoo? In other words, you can have your religion as long as you don't spread it. And all the persecution that took place in the book of Acts, read the book of Acts. They weren't persecuted because they paid their bills on time or worked a job. They were persecuted because they wouldn't keep their mouth shut about what Jesus did for them. That's why they were persecuted. Same thing in our society, and as we watch. They have a hard time understanding. People have a hard time understanding that one lie makes them as guilty as a mass murderer. And when you try to explain it, there's a disconnect. Look at 1 Corinthians 1:18. We're just staying on this verse this morning. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. And then look at the last part. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. If I take that, us which are saved, it's sad. I love the King James Bible. I only use the King James Bible. But in the other versions, this is what it says. But, let me just read it so I get it right. It says, unto us which are being saved. Okay. The modern versions teach that the cross of Jesus Christ gets you started in being saved, but it's not enough and you have to add to it. It's just like if you're out here on the coast and you're fishing and your boat goes down and someone comes by and they throw you a line and you get up in the boat and you say, what? Thank you for saving me or rescuing me. But what would happen if you were treading water, your boat just went down and somebody threw you a line, they said, here, hold on, and then they gunned it. Hold on till we get you to shore. We'll save you. Have you ever done that? When we went skiing as a thing, that is not a blessing. Do you understand? It's like forced water injection. You know what I mean? It's going... You know what? That's probably the picture of what the King James Bible says, unto us which are saved, not being saved. The person who's being drugged behind the boat, you're being saved, we're almost there. Aren't you glad Jesus didn't say, if you'll hold on to the cross for dear life until you get to heaven, I'll help you get there. Aren't you glad Jesus didn't say that? He didn't say, hold on for dear life. When Jesus was dying on the cross, he didn't say, there, I got it started. He said, it is finished. I've paid it all. Now all you have to do is trust what I've done. He said, it is finished, not I got it started. Watch this. We're almost done. Stay with me. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it. The word it. It's the cross of Jesus Christ. The cross is the power of God. The power of God was displayed when Jesus paid for your sins on the cross. Some people will say, well, I've been to some churches when I was growing up. I've heard them say it. Well, if you have the power of God, then you'll speak in tongues. Just let it come out. Power of God, speaking in tongues is not the power of God. The cross and what Jesus was able to pay for mankind's sins, that is the power of God. Not speaking in some jibber-jabber, not having an emotional feeling, has nothing to do with feelings. Praise the Lord, it has everything to do with the Bible. The power of God is displayed when God saves you and forgives you from all of your sins the moment you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Everything else is Satan's sleight of hand. Watch this hand. That's called magic. Call it sleight of hand. It's a distraction so that you can't see what's happening. All other teaching is Satan's sleight of hand. Watch this, and then this is taking place. It's deception. It's deception. It keeps you from looking to the only place where you can be saved. This morning, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. This Sunday morning, next Sunday morning, and I believe the last Sunday morning of this month, I wanted to take and preach on the cross until we get to Resurrection Sunday. And next Sunday, I'll preach a different message on the cross. But this morning's message is called The Preaching of the Cross. And I want you to be able to enjoy Resurrection Sunday and what a wonderful thing it is. Our Savior is risen from the dead. But to understand the cross is the power of God unto salvation. But to those that are lost, praise God. I got to witness to that man on the plane on last Wednesday, 8 years in the Air Force. He trusted Jesus as his Savior right there. That was a blessing. There are, praise God, God's still saving sinners. But there is people out there. They're foolish. They think it's foolish if this is what you believe. The preaching of the cross, it's what we're supposed to do. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. And Lord, I ask that please, you would help us as your people to stay focused on what we're supposed to do until you call us home. And Lord, what a job, what a mission field you've given us. I pray that please you could use this truth and thank you for what you've done for us.